He began to think of Daria as his companion, although she didn't speak much, and when she did, Tim didn't always understand why or what a gnar she was talking about. Once it was a series of numbers. Once she told him she would be offline because she was searching for satellite and suggested he stop. He did, and for half an hour the plate seemed completely dead. No lights, no voice. Just when he'd begun to believe she really had died, the green light came back on. The little stick reappeared, and Daria announced, "I have reestablished satellite link." "Wish you joy of it," Tim replied. Several times she offered to calculate a detour. This Tim continued to decline, and once, near the end of the second day after leaving the Fagonard, she recited a bit of verse. "See the eagle's brilliant eye, and wings on which he holds the sky. He spies the land, and spies the sea, and even spies a child like me." If he lived to be 100, which, given his current mad errand, Tim doubted was in the cards, he thought he would never forget the things he saw on the 3 days he and Daria trudged ever upward in the continuing heat. The path, once vague, became a clear lane, one that for several wheels was bordered by crumbling rock walls. Once, for a space of almost an hour, the corridor in the sky above that lane was filled with thousands of red birds flying south, as if in migration. But surely, Tim thought, they must come to rest in the endless forest. For no birds like that had ever been seen above the village of Tree. Once, 4 blue deer less than 2 feet high crossed the path ahead of him, seeming to take no notice of the thunderstruck boy who stood staring at these muty dwarfs. And once they came to a field filled with giant yellow mushrooms standing 4 feet high, with caps the size of umbrellas. "Are they good to eat, Daria?" Tim asked, for he was reaching the end of the goods in the hamper. "Does thee know?" "No, traveler," Daria replied. "They are poison. If you even brush their dust on your skin, you will die of seizures. I advise extreme caution." This was advice Tim took, even holding his breath, until he was past that deadly grove filled with treacherous, sunshiny death. Near the end of the third day, he emerged on the edge of a narrow chasm that fell away for 1,000 feet or more. He could not see the bottom, for it was filled with a drift of white flowers. They were so thick that he at first mistook them for a cloud that had fallen to earth. The smell that wafted up to him was fantastically sweet. A rock bridge spanned this gorge, on the other side passing through a waterfall that glowed blood red in the reflected light of the setting sun. "Am I meant to cross that?" Tim asked faintly. It looked not much wider than a barn beam, and, in the middle, not much thicker. No answer from Daria, but the steadily glowing green light was answer enough. "Maybe in the morning," Tim said, knowing he would not sleep for thinking about it, but also not wanting to chance it so close to day's end. The idea of having to negotiate the last part of that lofty causeway in the dark was terrifying. "I advise you to cross now," Daria told him, "and continue to North Forest Kinnickdogan with all possible speed. Detour is no longer possible." Looking at the gorge with its chancy bridge, Tim hardly needed the voice from the plate to tell him that a detour was no longer possible, but still, "Why can't I wait until morning? Surely it would be safer." Directive 19. A click louder than any he had heard before came from the plate, and then Daria added, "But I advise speed, Tim." He had several times asked her to call him by name rather than as traveler. This was the first time she had done so, and it convinced him. He left the Fagonard tribe's basket, not without some regret, because he thought it might unbalance him. He tucked the last 2 popkins into his shirt, slung the water skin over his back, then checked to make sure both the foreshot and his father's hand axe were firmly in place on either hip. He approached the stone causeway, looked down into the banks of white flowers, and saw the first shadows of evening beginning to pool there. He imagined himself making that one you-can-never-take-it-back misstep, saw himself whirling his arms in a fruitless effort to keep his balance, felt his feet first losing the rock and then running on air, heard his scream as the fall began. There would be a few moments to regret all the life he might have lived, and then... "Daria," he said in a small, sick voice, "do I have to?" No answer, which was answer enough. Tim stepped out over the drop.